This is Radio Equal Shock with your host, Alex Smith.
Who tracks every big storm? One of the original NOAA hurricane hunters, meteorologist Dr. Jeff Masters. Jeff co-founded the Weather Underground and now contributes to Yale Climate Connections. Jeff Masters, welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, meteorologists couldn't hide some amazement at Hurricane Melissa. What stood out to you from the start, Jeff?
First of all, this was October 28th, which is 7 weeks past the usual peak of the hurricane season. We typically only see about 10% of the activity of a season after October 28th, so this occurred very late in the year. And part of the reason that this was able to occur was because the Caribbean has not seen any other activity this year. So the waters were toasty warm. No other hurricanes had crossed over and stirred the waters up.
Right. We forget the hurricanes actually cool the ocean behind them, and that just didn't happen this year.
No, the steering currents have been very friendly to land areas. We've only had one other land-falling storm this year. That was back in June, a minimal-strength tropical storm Chantel that hit South Carolina.
Well, tell us about some of the records set or approached by Melissa.
It reached the lowest pressure we've ever seen for a land-falling hurricane, 892 millibars, and the highest winds we've ever seen for a land-falling Atlantic hurricane, 185 mile-per-hour winds. That's actually tied with the 1935 hurricane in the Florida Keys. And if you want to talk about stronger Atlantic hurricanes that didn't hit land, there's only ever been one. That was Hurricane Allen back in 1980. It had 190 mile-per-hour winds, only 5 mile-per-hour faster than Melissa. Those are the main records that stand out, just the absolutely mind-boggling intensity of this hurricane and the fact that it was able to hit land at that intensity. No Caribbean island has ever seen a landfall like that, and certainly Jamaica had never seen anything like that. Their strongest previous hurricane was back in 1988, a Cat 4 called Gilbert that hit the island and caused about $2.7 billion in damage.
So are we looking at something that humans really haven't seen before, at least in the time of measurements?
In the Atlantic, we've seen one other storm for sure this strong. That was back in 1935. In the Western Pacific, there have been a number of storms this strong, maybe 10 or 15 or so. But you get a lot more intense storms out there because it's such a bigger ocean. Storms don't run into land so often, and you got a bigger pool of warm water for them to feed off of. So very unusual storm. In fact, there's a study that's just been released saying that this was probably a 1 in 8,000-year storm for Jamaica, but climate change has made it four times more likely, so it's more like a 1 in 1,700-year storm. Still very rare, but we're going to be seeing a lot more of these with climate change.
Would you send me a link to that study? I'll put it in my blog for listeners.
I can do that.
Okay. Now, early predictions suggested Melissa would hover over Jamaica for a day or two, increasing extreme rainfall dangers. But then the hurricane moved on to Cuba the very next day. Did it speed up in its rate of travel?
What happened is that we expected it to stall just south of Jamaica, close enough to drench it with heavy rains. But that stall happened about 50 miles further south than we thought it would. And that 50 miles made all the difference because the heavy rain stayed just offshore, and the only heavy rains that the island got were for about a day period instead of the 2 or 3 day period that was initially feared. So it behaved very close to expectations. 50 miles isn't a lot of difference when you're talking about weak steering currents and the modeling we try to do for these type of storms. So we did get a little bit lucky with Melissa, but certainly Western Jamaica won't think they got lucky at all.
Well, Jeff, you've flown into the eye of giant hurricanes as part of the NOAA Hurricane Hunters. This time, those big prop planes turned away twice, citing safety. What does that tell you?
It was an exceptionally turbulent storm. And flying into high-end Category 5 hurricanes really pushes the limit of safety when you think about putting an aircraft in there. And I'm very concerned for the future of the Hurricane Hunters. We're going to be seeing a lot more Melissas in the future, and it's just not safe to fly a crewed aircraft in there. We need to put drones in there. I mean, drone technology is coming. It's not quite here yet. So extreme turbulence, three gravities of acceleration, that's what made those planes turn around, and that's not safe.
Well, they had to find volunteers for the planes this year. Is it safe to cut so many hurricane staff from the federal government?
You're pushing your luck when you start cutting hurricane research and hurricane operational type of activity. I mean, we know that the last 20 years of hurricane research advancements that we've done have led to about a $5 billion savings per storm that hits the U.S. And we really shouldn't jeopardize that type of research going forward. It's only going to get better. Our models are getting better all the time. That investment really pays off. The entire budget of NOAA is only about $6 billion. So saving $5 billion per storm from just a relatively minor investment of a few hundred million dollars over the last 20 years is money well spent. So I am really railing against the cuts that are going on to NOAA. This goes way beyond the stated goal of trying to stop climate alarmism. We really are cutting into our capability to make weather forecasts that protect lives and property, and it's a really dumb thing to be doing.
This storm season in the Atlantic seemed strange. All the conditions for major hurricanes were there, and yet no smasher made it as far as North America. Then this late season, here comes Melissa. How do you read this hurricane season?
We were due for a season where we don't get a major hurricane making landfall in the continental U.S. We'd gone five straight years with major hurricanes making landfalls, and we underwent a period from 2006 to 2015 where we didn't see any major hurricanes make landfall. So we were due for a quiet period. I mean, hurricanes are like bananas. They come in bunches, one famous meteorologist once said. And maybe we'll get a few years in a row here without a major hurricane landfall in the U.S. We certainly could use one with all the cuts going on to FEMA.
Yes, you found a 2021 paper, Poverty and Hurricane Risk Exposure in Jamaica. What does that tell us about Melissa's path through that country?
Melissa picked the worst part of the country to move over with respect to the quality of the building stock. A steel-reinforced concrete building can withstand a Cat 5, but a lesser structure is going to be destroyed. And we're going to see near-total destruction over a 20-mile-wide swath of Jamaica. It's going to look like an EF3 or an EF4 tornado went across there. So very unfortunate, but that's not the heavily populated part of the country, so Jamaica's fortunate that it didn't hit Kingston, where they do have better building codes. But it's very heavily populated, and the damage would have been so much more.
Well, you mentioned Cat 5. Just last year, we talked about proposals to add a new Cat 6 designation for more powerful storms showing up in recent years. What do you think now, and would Hurricane Melissa make the cut?
The most recent paper that came out advocating a Cat 6 scale put the limit there at sustained winds of 193 miles per hour, which Melissa fell just short of. So it would not be a Cat 6 by that scale. I've proposed that we should have a lesser criteria for a Cat 6, more like 185, which Melissa was. So from an awareness of what climate change is doing to these storms goes, we should have a Cat 6. But from a practical warning point of view, I don't think it does make sense. You're going to evacuate for a Cat 5 because it's catastrophic. Cat 6 is mega catastrophic. You should evacuate for both, but you're not going to be motivated to evacuate any more so than if it were just a Cat 5 coming at you.
Going from hard science to conjecture, Jeff, do you think big storms later in this century will be like Melissa more of the time, or could hurricanes and typhoons get even stranger?
We don't know what to expect in a lot of senses. One of the big surprises with Melissa is that it lasted as a Cat 5 so long. 36 straight hours is a Cat 5. That's very unusual. Typically, hurricanes see fluctuations in their intensity when they get so strong. We call them eyewall replacement cycles, where the inner eyewall collapses. It's replaced by a larger diameter eyewall from an outer spiral band, and then it shrinks again and becomes the inner eyewall. Melissa didn't do any of that. We don't know why. So that's a surprise that maybe we'll see more of in the future. I don't know. So the future is a little murky when you start pushing the boundaries of what is possible with the atmosphere. Extreme events can surprise you. So I'm not really sure what the future holds.
I see most of your work published at Yale Climate Connections. Are you working on anything big, or does each season keep you as busy as you want to be?
This is going to be my last season that I plan on doing regular updates of hurricanes, the day by day. You know, this is what this disturbance in the Caribbean is likely to do. I mean, I may step in and talk about big storms like Melissa when they happen, but we're witnessing the end of an era. After 21 years, I'm hanging it up. I'm not going to be doing the regular blog anymore with Bob Henson. So no big plans. I'm enjoying doing less, being retired, and doing enjoyment of family and life and travel. And I will continue to talk about extreme weather and climate change on my blog. That's not going to go away. But not so much the day-to-day, here's what's going on with the weather.
Well, we may just have to make a map of your brain before you leave.
We may be able to get somebody to come in and take over my blog. It's undetermined at this point.
Okay. From Michigan, we've been speaking with meteorologist Dr. Jeff Masters. You can find links to Jeff and his work in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.org. And, of course, go to Yale Climate Connections. Jeff, thank you for volunteering your time to keep us all informed.
Sure, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.